Late Night Conversations, Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. till midnight.
This part of the program is not suitable for sensitive listeners and for anyone under the age of 18. Note that the views expressed on this show are not that of the station or the presenter. Closet Conversations.
Let's welcome Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a highly skilled female gynecologist and a laparoscopic surgeon. We are talking gynecological conditions. So yes, ladies, we are focusing on you, but the men in your life need to understand what you go through, how you go through it, and how it affects all things when it comes to your mental, emotional, physical, and sexual health. Remember, you can interact with us. Ask your questions, A-teamers, on 011-714-2006 or SMS 41391. WhatsApps go to 06-14-104-107. Dr. Novikova, good evening.
Good evening, Patricia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm glad today we're talking all things female gynecological conditions that the ladies go through. And sometimes we're so shy to talk about these things, but they are a living reality for most of us.
Absolutely.
So yesterday, we had a very interesting question from an A-teamer who was asking about a molar pregnancy. And as a gynecologist, I'd like you to please take us through this condition of a molar pregnancy and what could possibly cause it.
Molar pregnancy is a pregnancy, and it's quite a rare condition where pregnancy has occurred. However, it's like a cancer. So this pregnancy tissue is not going to develop into a baby, but the genetic material of it is such that it will grow. If it's left untreated, women might have severe bleeding, but there will not be any baby at the end. It's treated either with surgery or sometimes chemotherapy.
So what causes it? Is it just like any other cancer? Or, I mean, if obviously this needs to be some sort of fertilization that takes place before a molar pregnancy.
Absolutely. The molar pregnancy is a pregnancy, and it's caused by the semen and the egg coming together, but the genetic material of this pregnancy is such that it becomes a molar pregnancy instead of the normal pregnancy.
This is not prevalent, is it, in South Africa or across the globe?
The molar pregnancy is not very common, but it is quite common, and it is very common, but we do see it regularly. And we see it in South Africa as well.
Mm. All right. I'm glad you've explained this to us. And I know Dr. Anthony Smith yesterday as well did cover it for us. But I just thought, let's just get into it again, because it's something that I was not aware of. And as a woman, obviously, you don't want to not know what could possibly happen. Now, there are general gynecological issues that women face. The first one I'd like us to look at are the changes in the smell of the vagina. And I remember talking to a friend who was telling me that these things do happen. You know, the vagina changes every now and then, and she even knows the days or the weeks where she's going to experience a change. So could you kindly tell us what causes the vagina to change in odor?
The odor of the vagina is based on the bacteria and the pH in the vagina. And we have lots of different bacteria, and the ones that we want to have in the vagina are lactobacillus. And pH of the vagina, which is normally between 4.5 to 5.5, determines the smell as well. The smell can change during the cycle slightly, and many women reported that there is a change closer to their period. They feel more odor. But generally, if women can smell the odor from the vagina, it's related to a condition called bacterial vaginosis, which is a disbalance in bacteria in the vagina and increase in the pH. And this condition occurs due to sex, due to maybe stress, heat, but nothing, it's not a sexually transmitted condition. However, if you have a new sexual partner, you might acquire some new bacteria which are not sexually transmitted, but they just change the balance in your own bacteria. Sometimes women who use lots of feminine hygienic products and special soaps develop bacterial vaginosis because they destroy their own lactobacillus with those special feminine washers. And the other bacteria overgrow, and those bacteria can give this particular odor in the vaginal area.
So it is not an STI or an STD, but it is one of those changes that occur based on what has been happening down south around your vaginal area. But when you experience these changes in smell in the vagina, should the woman be going to see a doctor, inserting any creams, any washes, any soaps? I hear you saying those soaps also cause a change in bacteria, but should we be doing anything to normalize our vaginal odor?
Absolutely. If you feel that your vaginal odor is fishy or there is a strong smell, you should see a doctor and you will have a check. And we might take a swab to work out if there is any particular bacteria that needs to be treated or if there is bacterial vaginosis. Generally, the recommendation is not to use any soap in the intimate area, but only use water for washing. It's a good idea to follow a healthy lifestyle and healthy diet. It helps with your general well-being, and it will help with vaginal health as well. Taking probiotics might be useful for having a very good bacteria and normal bacteria in the bowel, and that is very close to the vagina, and it will help with the vaginal flora as well.
All right, so taking those probiotics it could help, but a generally healthy diet is one thing to go for. There's a question here from an A-teamer via WhatsApp. He says, is that bacteria harmful if you swallow it? Because he says some of us give our wives oral sex.
No, it's not harmful.
So it's not harmful. It's not a bacteria that will cause you to get sick.
No, not at all. In fact, it's just a disbalance in the bacteria. So it's the same bacteria, but overgrowth of one, but undergrowth of the other. So it's not harmful. It's part of our normal flora.
And then for other women, around the time before or after their period, they'll experience a pimple or a rash or swelling in the vagina area, the external area. Is this something that should cause alarm for us to run to a gynecologist every single month, or is it something that is normal and natural?
Well, there's a lot of different rashes that one experiences in any area in the body and in the intimate area as well. The common things that we see is little pimples that might be related to ingrown hair or hair removal, such as shaving or waxing. And this is just a little like inflammation and pimples in that area related to the hair removal. We have other things that can happen in the area, for example, dermatitis or inflammation in the intimate area related to an allergy to a particular soap or washing powder that is new. And some women even allergic to synthetic material, like synthetic underwear. So if there is something new that you started using for the first time and you develop a reaction, most likely it's related to that particular component. Once I saw a patient who had a bath with a special tea tree oil, and it was very relaxing, and she loved it. However, she developed a terrible vaginal rash as a reaction to this oil that she used in her bath. And eventually we worked it out because it happened every time she had the special oil in the bath. And then we thought it was all kinds of other things until we realized that it's definitely related to having baths with the oil. Other things that cause rash in the vaginal area or vulval area would be either skin conditions. It could be something like psoriasis that causing symptoms there, or eczema even.
Mm.
And then we have a range of sexually transmitted infections that can cause rashes. For example, herpes is a common one, and 15% of the population has genital herpes. Those pimples are usually little, they're burning or itchy. First episode of herpes is usually extremely painful, and quite often women report that they're not even able to pass urine because of the pain in the area. Some women may even have fevers, swollen lymph nodes when they have first genital herpes episode. The recurrence of genital herpes does not have such severe symptoms, usually just pimples and tingling and burning in the area. It's important to see a doctor to make a diagnosis, to make a correct diagnosis, potentially confirm it with the testing when there is any doubts about the particular cause of the rash. And if the herpes is confirmed, then the treatment would include taking medication that stops recurrences of herpes. It's quite safe medication. Women who have recurrences quite often can take this medication continuously, and it would stop them having this rash and eruptions in the area.
I like the fact that you talked about panties, that they could also, depending on the fabric of the panty, cause some issues in the vaginal area. So there are women who just prefer not to wear panties at all. Is this safe for them? And then on the other end, there are women who wear a panty liner every single day. Is this safe as well?
I think not wearing panties is safer than wearing a panty liner.
How so, Doc?
Well, if one goes for the panty liner, make sure that it's something that is non-scented and is produced from like a very good material, so it's not going to cause sweating in the area. And if you're wearing panty liner all the time, you might just find that that area is always sweaty and hot and creates perfect kind of circumstances for growth of bacteria.
So,
and obviously, if you're wearing no panties, it's all airy and free.
Now I know what you advocate for, doctor. Leave the panties behind.
So if the choice is between the panties or panty liner.
And then if it's for the panties, cotton panties obviously are the recommended.
Certainly, yes.
Okay. Let's go to a voice note.
Good evening, Patricia. I'd like to know, is it possible to get an STI from your partner without her necessarily cheating or sleeping around? Is it possible to get it from, I don't know, from something else besides her cheating?
Okay, and it's sexually transmitted disease. Is it possible, Doc?
I think we have to determine what the cheating is and what the STD is before we answer that question.
But could it not be an STI that this partner had before they even met?
Absolutely.
Okay, so maybe they need to go and see a doctor together so it can, you know, be deduced. Where does this STI come from? Because it doesn't seem likely to have a sexually transmitted disease without having sex.
No, you can't have sexually transmitted disease without having sex. That's not possible. However, I did see a patient yesterday who has never had sex in her 50s, actually. And she told me that she had genital herpes. And this genital herpes comes from her lips. So she has very kind of bad eruptions and bad, bad cold sores on her lips. And somehow they were transmitted to the genital area, most likely with just touching with the hand.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not common.
Okay, so it is possible to get something like herpes in the genital area without having had sex with anyone because you were exposed to it maybe on your lips. Okay, so it is possible. Go see a doctor, Atima. Here's another question from an Atima who's a virgin. So there's quite a lot of virgins then. You talk about one in their 50s. This one says they're in their 40s. She says, I'd like to know if it's okay to do a pap smear. I'm still a virgin and I'm in my 40s.
There is no need to do a pap smear if someone has never had vaginal penetration. Because pap smears are done to pick up abnormal cells on the cervix, and those abnormal cells are caused by HPV virus, a human papilloma virus, and this virus is sexually transmitted.
Ah, okay. So there is no need, Atima, who is a virgin. Well done. Go, girl. Here's a question from Anonymous in Hammersdale. Anonymous says, a very informative topic, I must say. My question to the doctor is, the excessive intake of alcohol, does that have a negative impact in the vagina, as it happens quite frequently through the passing of urine while drinking?
This is a complicated question. I think I'll give a general answer. Excessive amounts of anything are not good for you. Excessive amounts of alcohol, first of all, will cause liver issues. And they're not great for your general health. So, yeah, no, it's not good.
But is there a direct impact on the vagina for someone who drinks a lot?
I'm trying to think what would be the direct impact on the vagina. I think if you drink a lot, you're more likely to engage in unprotected sex, and you're more likely to get sexually transmitted infections.
Mm. Okay, because you have lost all inhibitions and you are now, go ahead.
And unwanted pregnancy as well.
Atima is sending us here a message saying, if I have intercourse with my wife, she feels itchy on her private parts. She blames me that my sperm causes that. Is this possible, Doc?
Yes, some women have allergy to sperm. Some women have allergy to the condom. So you have to experiment and try to use condoms, see if she's still itchy. If it's not the sperm and it's condoms, then go for latex-free condoms.
Okay. But I mean, can it happen that the partners meet and in the inception of their intercourse, there's no itchy that happens? And then later on, the itching develops. Is it possible?
That's possible, and that would be more, it could be that they suddenly develop the allergy, or it could be that they have yeast infection or candida, and that's very common.
A-team, as we're talking to Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a highly skilled female gynecologist, and she's also a laparoscopic surgeon, and she's taking us through some gynecological conditions. If you've got questions or you've got comments, you can send a WhatsApp to 0614 104 107 or SMS 41391. Call in on 011 714 2006. Okay. When it comes to family planning, let's talk about family planning, Doc. We know there are various methods for family planning. There's, you know, injections, insertables, oral family planning, those that you insert, and the likes. What are the impact of these various family planning or contraceptive methods on the skin, the weight, and libido of a woman?
So it would depend what contraceptive method we are talking about. There is a few options in terms of hormonal contraception. So we'll start with non-hormonal. And non-hormonal contraception includes intrauterine device or loop or copper T or pearls intrauterine balls. So this is something that has no hormones whatsoever. and it's got no impact on skin, on libido, on what else, on acne. What else did you ask me about?
Weight.
And weight, yes, and weight. So copper tea or pearls will have no impact on weight, skin, and libido. And it's a very effective contraceptive. It's a long-acting contraceptive, such as once it's inserted, and can stay there for 5 years. Then we have a range of hormonal contraceptives. And I'll divide them into like progesterone-based, such as, for example, mini pill or intrauterine device called Mirena or Kylena. Those options include progesterone. It's very small amount of progesterone, and generally and theoretically it should not have effect on skin, libido, and I keep forgetting what is the third one. But it generally shouldn't. However, some women who have Mirena inserted or Kylena inserted, they do report that suddenly their skin is not as great as it used to be, and they develop a bit of acne. Some women report rarely that they develop issues with libido, and that shouldn't happen because the hormonal component of Mirena, levonorgestrel, does not really have that effect on the body. But clearly we are all different and we all react different to different devices, and for some women it's an issue. Contraceptive pill, we have a variety of them. And there are certain contraceptive pills which have more effects on our body than others. There's a common pill called Yasmin, same components but lesser dose Yas. Now it's Yas Plus and Yasmin Plus. Those two pills were developed not to influence the weight. They have a component in them that is diuretic, so it stops fluid retention, and generally women who take this contraceptive pill do not gain weight. This pill is great for skin. It helps with acne. Women who take Yas or Yasmin quite often report more mood swings and feeling depressed. So it's got negative effect on mood, but not for everyone, only for a small number of women. And in terms of libido, well, it depends. It's not a common side effect, but it may influence libido. There are other pills that we use, lots of different ones on the market, higher dose, lower dose. Generally, what we see is that lower dose pills have more negative effect on libido and lesser effect on the skin.
Now, Doc, you've covered most of the contraceptive methods available. What happens to this notion, or maybe it's a myth, that once a woman is on a contraceptive method like the injection or even the pill, their vagina becomes extremely dry or extremely wet? Is this true?
Okay, so let me touch on the injection first before I answer your question. So injection is a depot or narsterate. So depot provera is a 3-monthly injection, and it's quite a nice contraceptive because it's convenient and it's available in the clinic, but it's not a great contraceptive. If one decides to fall pregnant, they have to expect that it might take up to 2 years for their fertility to return after they stop depo. The other issue that we have with depo is that if it's taken for longer than 5 years, it will lead to osteoporosis or thinning of the bones. So generally, injection is not such a great contraceptive, and one can, of course, use it if there is no other option available, but understanding potential risks with injectable contraceptives is very important. Now going, please just repeat your question.
No, so I was asking about the myth that injections or even the pill could cause extreme dryness of the vagina or extreme wetness of the vagina.
So extreme wetness, no. Extreme dryness possible. Same reason as a low libido. So sometimes, especially low dose estrogen pill may decrease levels of estrogen that women have, and that would lead to thinning of vaginal skin and vaginal dryness.
So it would be better, I mean, if you weigh and you can afford it, you have it at your disposal, to use the insertable non-hormonal contraceptive methods.
That's a perfect option for women who have normal, not too heavy, not too painful periods. For someone who has very heavy and very painful periods, hormonal loop would be a great option.
Now, the menstrual disorders is another thing that we face. I mean, the PMS, teenagers. I remember when I was a teenager, premenstrual syndrome was one of those things that I used to dread going to school because it would be so bad. I would be moody, and the pain would be extreme, and it would be just something else. And others have it up until they're in their, you know, 40s, 50s. And then there's the heavy bleeding and, you know, and the irregular menstrual periods. Talk to us about these disorders and how you can advise women who are facing them.
It's very important to see your gynecologist or your doctor or go to the clinic if you're experiencing irregular menstrual bleeding or very heavy or very painful periods. And it's important to see a doctor because we would need to exclude various pathologies that may lead to irregular and painful and heavy periods, such as endometriosis, adenomyosis, fibroids, polyps, cysts, and at times it could be an infection or sexually transmitted infection, such as chlamydia, that can cause such symptoms. So a checkup is important to find the cause of irregular bleeding. And depending on the cause, we would then find various options that will help the treatment of the condition. And those options may include contraceptive pill or antibiotics if it's an infection. Or for women, for example, who completed the family are no longer going to have any more children and they have very, very heavy periods, there is an option of endometrial ablation where we destroy the lining of the uterus with a special, very, very safe instrument and women will just stop having periods. It will not get them into menopause. They will still have normal hormonal levels, but they won't have periods.
Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. till midnight.
This part of the program is not suitable for sensitive listeners and for anyone under the age of 18. Note that the views expressed on this show are not that of the station or the presenter. Closet Conversations.
We are in conversation with Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a highly skilled female gynecologist and laparoscopic surgeon. We are talking gynecological conditions, so the conditions that we females face, and obviously the men in our lives have to understand them as well. So if you are keen on asking a question or you would like to give us, you know, your experience of going to your gynecologist and the relationship you have forged with them, call in on 011-714-2006 or WhatsApp 0614-104-107. Dr. Novikova, here's a very sensitive and sad WhatsApp message from Anonymous. Anonymous says, I've survived a traumatic rape and had all HIV treatments and ended up with needing a biopsy, which left me with no sexual sensation thereafter and left me damaged up to date. What explanation does doctor have concerning my condition? Please, I'm not only left with a cold rape case damage, but also this. Thank you so very much in advance. Dr. Novikova, are you there? Dr. Novikova? All right. We can't seem to find Dr. Novikova, so maybe let's go to a sting and then we'll come back. And I see you on the lines.
Closet Conversations.
In conversation with Dr. Natalia Novikova, a gynecologist and laparoscopic surgeon, we're talking gynecological conditions. A-teamers, you can call in on 011-714-2007 or WhatsApp 0614-104-107. Dr. Novikova, I think our line went bad, but before that, I was telling you a message that we were sent by Anonymous, who's saying that she survived a traumatic rape and had all her HIV treatments and ended up needing a biopsy, which left her with no sexual sensation thereafter. And she was left damaged up to date. What explanation can you as a doctor have concerning her condition, as she's not only left with a cold rape case damage, but also this issue of having no sexual sensation?
Thank you. There's lots of reasons for lack of sexual sensation, and they could be psychological, they could be hormonal, they could be organic, and it would be important for a teamer to see a doctor, to see a specialist, and to see a sexologist or psychologist to get help in terms of going through kind of post-trauma counseling and finding a closure on the situation, and also working through this process and working out if there is a possibility that it's the trauma that led to lack of sexual sensation. I understand that the treatments that A-teamer received might have had some side effects. Those side effects shouldn't be long-term if the treatment was just for a couple of weeks. And I think the psychological component can be quite significant here. In terms of the biopsy, I'm not clear where the biopsy was coming from and what it was for, so I wouldn't be able to comment on the impact on the sensation in this case. So I think a good review and psychologist and a specialist gynecologist, for example, to do an assessment would be very helpful to find definite answers to the questions here.
And I've got an A-teamer here, Shadra. Shadra, very good evening.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I have a question for the doc. Last month I had a pap smear done. And I have the thing, the results came that I had the HPV virus. And now I have been to my doctor because the results came to him, you know. And now he says that I need to remove my uterus. I need to have a total hysterectomy. And, you know, I'm scared because, you know, I don't know what, you know, like what to really expect. Because according to my gynae, her name is Vaneshri Gavunder. She's from ChatsMed. So she suggests that I have a total hysterectomy because, you know, I've had a problem with, I was a CIN3 at one stage. This was like about 25 years ago. And, you know, but, you know, at that particular time, the doctor that was treating me did a scraping and, you know, removed all the cancerous cells. And thereafter, I didn't present with any symptoms up until now. And now, because I've had the pap smear done, and it shows that I have the HPV virus, so now they suggest that I remove my you know, I have a total hysterectomy. And I am afraid because, you know, I don't know what, you know, what to really expect. If the doc could give me some advice, you know, regarding this.
Shadra, please stay on the line in case Dr. Novikova wants to give you some follow-up questions.
Not
Dr. Novikova?
Thank you for your question. Yeah, sorry about all the findings and your stress. in terms of HPV and the hysterectomy, so human papillomavirus or HPV causes abnormal cells on the cervix, and generally, and you obviously have had it many years before, and that's what caused CAN3, which sounds like it was treated. However, HPV virus is still there, and that happens on occasions, that despite of treatment 20 years ago, HPV virus remains in the cells and it persists. It doesn't sound like there is any issues with the cancer. Was your pap smear normal?
According to my doc, it has a pre-malignant tumor. So, you know, he says it's on the mouth of the uterus. So he advised me that I need to have a total hysterectomy.
Yeah. So I guess it would depend on what type of pre-malignant tumor it is. We have CAN1, CAN2, CAN3, and then we have carcinoma in situ. So the advice on hysterectomy would be based on type of the findings that we have. And generally, we start with doing other procedures to kind of assess cells a bit deeper, such as a colposcopy and biopsy, to work out exact diagnosis for this particular problem, to be able to advise on a perfect treatment that is going to give best outcomes. If someone has cancer, the hysterectomy may be the option, and other times if someone has cancer on the neck of the womb, it's actually not a hysterectomy or not a surgery, but radiotherapy that will be advised. So each condition has a treatment that is the best for this particular condition. So let's say you have CAN3 and HPV. Do we need to do a hysterectomy? No, you can have a repeat LETS procedure to remove CAN3.
Okay.
And if that's removed, because CAN3 is not a cancer.
Okay. So, but I seem to be having this continuous pruritus on my body, you know, right through my body. Is that related in any way? Please, I need to know.
No, it's not related. It's not generally.
Okay, doctor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, HPV that you have is related to your intimate area, to the genital area, not to your rest of your body.
Okay. Thank you so much, doctor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Shadra. Thank you. Please do take Dr. Novikova's details at the end of the show, so maybe you can have a second opinion.
I will. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me go to an A-teamer's voice note here.
Good evening, Patricia and the good doctor. I want to remain anonymous. I heard when the doctor was talking about wearing of the pen liners. My problem was that my radio has been cutting. I was cut off when she was trying to explain. So my question is, were you saying the pen liners, they cause vaginal bacteria or they change vaginal bacteria? I don't know, because my wife wears pen liner a lot. I can say always.
Go ahead, Doc.
Thank you for your question. There are different pentaliners, and my advice is if someone wants to wear a pentaliner, can they? Well, they can if it's absolutely necessary, but go for non-scented ones, biodegradable, hypoallergenic material if you have to wear it. And my point was is that if a woman wears pentaliner, it can lead to a bit of sweating in the area and creating particular kind of circumstances in that area that would be sweaty and hot and will allow our normal bacteria to grow, and that won't be great for our intimate areas. So I'm not a big fan of pentaliners.
All right, Doc.
And I also see, I often see patients who have a reaction to the pentaliner. Mm-hmm. Hence, that makes me like them less. But I can share the product that I quite like, that one can actually order online. And you can look at the website called Sheba Feminine. They have very nice products, and they're hypoallergenic and biodegradable and don't cause any kind of reactions in women.
Here's a question. This ATMA says, since I moved in with my girlfriend, her periods change every month. It could be on the 15th, the next month, the 28th. What causes that?
Well, if this is normal for your girlfriend and she's always had this type of periods, that could be just her. And it's normal to have periods between 24 to about 45 days. If they're delayed for longer than 45 days or they come more frequently than every 24 days, that's abnormal and that should be investigated.
All right. So if it's normal, then yeah, don't worry. But if it's a new thing, then go get an opinion from a specialist like Dr. Novikova. Another question. Good evening. What are the risks of having unprotected sex with someone on their periods? Also, can this result in STDs?
So can one have unprotected sex?
With someone who is on their period. Okay. And can it result in STDs?
As commonly as it would result in STD outside of the period.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're having unprotected sex during your period, you're less likely to fall pregnant. You're more likely to fall pregnant if you're having unprotected sex in the middle of the cycle. But the transmission of infection remains.
Okay. But are there any other risks of having sex while one is on their period?
It's just messy, that's all.
All right, Doc. Ladosh in Midrand says, my girlfriend says her doctor says that she has fallen pregnant despite being on the contraceptive pill. Is that possible?
It is possible to fall pregnant on the contraceptive pill. Anything can fail, even the pill. And the reasons, common reasons behind it would be missing the pill, so forgetting to take one, or taking new medication with the pill, which will decrease effectiveness of the pills. For example, someone has got a chest infection and took antibiotics, and that might interfere with the pill. The other reason of falling pregnant on the pill would be maybe diarrhea or vomiting. So you're taking the pill, but then you had a bit of tummy bug, you vomited and you forgot, and the pill is gone and it's not going to work.
So there are things that could counteract the pill. Dr. Novikova, how often should women go for their gynecological checkups?
It's a good idea to have an annual checkup. This is presuming one has no problems. If woman has issues with any complaints, then she must see a doctor as soon as she can.
How do we get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me via my website. It's drnovikova.koza. Or you can follow me on Instagram at gynetaboos or Dr. Natalia Novikova.
Thank you so very much once again. I look forward to the next time we have a closet conversation chat.
Thank you, Patricia. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
A-teamers, I've been educated and I'm sure so have you around gynecological conditions. There are so many of them, but all I can say is let's heed to what the doctor has said. Get those checks annually if you are a lady. Don't forget those pap smears as well if you are a sexually active lady. It's a Thursday and a minute before it is going to be Friday. You know that we are not on air from tomorrow. Late Night Conversations, siyalala on the weekend. But we'll be back with you on Monday. Remember, 3 a.m. until 5 a.m., Asanda Beta comes in with Sound Awake. Between now and then, we can interact on social media platforms at Patricia N. Nduli. May goodness and grace lead you to the great heights of success.